Hello and welcome to the podcast Alosius for the 1st of June 2021. Happy Pride Month, everyone. Sorry, I was looking for a meme and I couldn't find the meme. Anyway, so first thing I want to mention is that we have we've got some premium content up from Hannah Gell. Actually, I think this is free, not premium, actually. So this is a rundown of what's been happening with the chap at Eton. You remember the teacher at Eton who was fired for saying that men are men and therefore should be men. He produced a YouTube video which he gave to his students, teaching them, what is it, like the role of a man is to protect, provide, and I can't remember the last one. It was just a lecture on just, this is what a man is.
Sort of healthy masculinity.
Yeah.
Because as he says, and this is an interview with him where he's talking about the crisis of masculinity, and it's very interesting because it's true, there is a crisis of masculinity.
Mm. So for doing that, he was suspended from Eton. I mean, Eton, the top of the top of the education in the UK.
Suspended for being like, hey, young men, I have some advice because I'm a man and I think you might need this going into the world. And they're like, yeah, get out.
Yeah, ridiculous. So I think the students have written in his favour and Hannah's given him a bit of an update on what went on there. And also just his perspective on the whole thing. She's managed to get a hold of him and taken quotes from there. So go and give that a read. I have messaged him. We're going to try and get him on for an interview at some point, but not confirmed yet. Anyway, so today we're going to be going over how BLM is crashing and burning before our eyes every day. Also that the COVID lab theory, it turns out, is no longer unpersoned. It has been repersoned. It is no longer banned. It is now a theory that is correct. It is a true falsehood.
I think this is the first example of something coming back out of the memory hole as well, isn't it?
I know, right?
Like, has anything ever come back from the memory hole before?
That's why I said repersoned. Like, you've got to get a new term for whatever this is.
Yeah.
Anyway, and also Conservative Pride Month, because I'm a conservative and we're going to celebrate Pride. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into how Black Lives Matter is burning.
Sure, yeah. Things are going very badly for Black Lives Matter as the movement is crashing and burning and its leadership is abandoning ship. Also, it hasn't done any good for black people, if you can believe it. Or at least if there has been tangible good done for black people, it's literally a small handful of black people who happen to be at the top of the Black Lives Matter movement. But anyway, a good example of this is this recent article by the New York Post that showed that actually black-owned businesses in George Floyd Square in Minneapolis, the area that has been consecrated to the memory of George Floyd, where he died, they're failing. And they're failing because they have turned it into some kind of pseudo-autonomous zone, and they don't get any help from the police or authorities anymore. And it's not good, basically. As they say, the merchants near the once thriving 38th corner of 38th Street and Chicago Avenue say police have abandoned the blocked-off intersection and created a dangerous autonomous zone that saw a crime spike and business evaporate. The black-owned businesses say they've lost 75% of their business since the memorial sprouted up after his death. 75%. And they've got a GoFundMe that they've launched to try and desperately stay afloat, but let's be fair, let's be real, there's no coming back from this. If people aren't going to go to this area because it's now hugely dangerous, it's not like that's something recoverable. So it looks like they're just going to have to leave.
Yeah, I mean, business isn't going to come back if it continues to be
this semi-autonomous
shrine to lawlessness.
Yeah, I mean, the merchants say that they feel that they've been sacrificial lambs in the city's response to George Floyd's death. This area has always been violent, but gang members kept us safe in their own way, which is a really weird, like, Stockholm Syndrome sort of response there.
That was actually part of the court case as well. The area being a violent area meant that a higher level of force was justified.
Yeah. But residents and businesses complain that a new element of lawlessness has seeped in to the area recently, with left-wing militants and gang members turning it into a volatile autonomous zone. So, some black people who definitely weren't helped by Black Lives Matter. And this came to prominence recently because there was, on the anniversary, the day of the anniversary of the death of George Floyd, there was a reporter who was trying to give a report. And, well, let's just watch the clip.
This bill of comprehensive police reform just got to be careful here with some gunshots. Excuse us. It sounds like gunshots. I'll let you know what this is. These seem to be gunshots.
So as you can see, everything's going great in George Floyd Square.
I mean, this is what defunding the police looks like.
Yes, this is...
Where is that?
We're okay.
Just ranging gunfights in the streets, outside of memorials of George Floyd, the savior of black. Sorry, we can stop it there, John.
Well, I was going to mention, I don't know if you saw, on the George Floyd memorial there, they had a Pan-African flag on top.
Mm-hmm.
What were George Floyd's political views?
No idea.
No one knows.
He doesn't seem to be.
I mean, that's one of the interesting things, though, isn't it? Like, this guy who wasn't political by any accounts, and yet he's been mapped on.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I've seen
no concern for what he thought.
I've seen graffiti, you know, paintings of George Floyd with Palestinian flags in my room. Okay. Yeah, exactly. What is this cursed image? But yeah, so like even when, and yeah, I love the fact that this reporter,
you can start doing it with anything, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, why not?
This is just like George Floyd for Juche or something like that. <It's> like, sorry,
but I love the fact that the guy is trying to give a report about police reform and you know, defunding the police, and that just a gun battle begins behind him and he has to flee. Welcome to George Floyd Square. As a result of this, only one person was shot, and they weren't mortally wounded or anything, but it was unclear exactly what happened, as a bunch of gunmen just started firing into the square, and it says a local patrol shot back. I don't know what kind of patrol that is, but some people started returning fire. Just, you know, this is what defunding the police looks like. Another hilarious example of people who advocated for defunding the police and then got their immediate comeuppance, the instant karma, was an Atlanta City councilman called Antonio Brown, who had his car stolen in broad daylight by a bunch of kids. He had voted to support an ordinance to withhold $73 million from the budget of the Atlanta Police Department, and he was literally like...
He paid for it. He was his car.
No. He was attending a ribbon cutting ceremony at an event at Northeast Atlanta, and he'd, I guess, left his car unlocked. And I think it was like three or four kids of the ages of 6 to 12 jumped in, and because it was a keyless car, they could just start it and they drove off with it. And he's like hanging on the side, and he has to like leap off it eventually, and they just drive off with his car. And the thing is, he's like, "Well, I'm not going to file charges because I think they acted out of desperation. This is a generational poverty issue." That's right. Generational poverty just stole your car.
Oh, God. I mean, this is AOC levels of stupidity. Remember when they were raiding an Apple store?
Yeah.
And then her response to being asked about these kind of riots was, yeah, well, they're trying to get bread. I was like, yeah, what?
Exactly. What, were those Nike shoes? I don't think that, so.
It also reminds me, remember there was Swedish politicians who, I think one of them had their daughters raped by refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And then the daughter announced that she didn't want charges pressed against the rapist.
There was a Norwegian politician who was raped by a migrant as well, and he said the same thing. He didn't want him deported because it'd be dangerous. It's like, dude, you just got raped by this guy. Anyway, it's a generational poverty issue. These kids at 12:30 in the afternoon, why aren't they in school? Why aren't we enforcing systems to ensure that if they are not in school, they're in recreational centers? Where are the parents is the real question you want to ask, isn't it? But you can't, because that'd be a conservative talking point, and you can't say that. But the point is, there'd be no police to enforce them anyway, would there? Because you'd help defund them. But anyway, so what has all of this defunding of the police led to? Can you guess, Callum? Can you guess what defunding the police led to?
Spike in murders.
Absolutely. Which CNN obviously hated reporting, because they've got literally like, I don't know, like six paragraphs before they give you the information in this article.
God, I mean, look at that. Look at that headline there.
Yeah. Defund the police encounters resistance as violent crime spikes. As if the violent crime is one organization and the defund the police is another organization. And they're trying, but no, the votes are just always on the violent crime side. Just don't know why. But yeah, you have to scroll down a very significant way through this article to get the details. But I did so because I like torturing CNN with their own reporting. So Los Angeles cut its police department budget by $150 million. And I tell you what, if there's one city, I mean, maybe in Chicago or Detroit, but Los Angeles is definitely a place where you do not want to defund the police, right? Los Angeles has been a notoriously violent city for decades, right? And so being a huge city as well, they have 10,000 police, or they had 10,000 police until defund the police came along, and now they're below 9,500. What this means is a 26.5% increase this year over in murders. And that's a 44% in 2020. And that was 44% up over 2019. So nearly, from 2019 to 2020, 50% nearly increase in murders. Defund the police.
It's not just a one-off or a statistical error either. This is across the country.
And it's a growing trend, and specifically in Los Angeles as well. Aggravated assault is up 12%, and violent crime is overall up, obviously. In Seattle, they approved a budget cut to police funding by 18%, and 39 officers quit or retired, and then the city saw its highest homicide number in 26 years, according to Seattle Post.
I mean, that's what I mean by across the country. I don't mean in all the Republican areas this is also happening. It's just, you know, a national thing. Americans are becoming more murdery.
Well,
it's like, no, the Portland, Los Angeles, these areas that have embraced left-wing ideology to the extreme, have become hotbeds of murder.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Republican-run areas. I don't know whether Austin, Texas is Republican-run. It might be.
I think it's Democrat, actually.
The one
blue spot.
I was going to say, I think it is actually with a sort of blue dot in Texas. But the Austin City Council cut its police department budget. After the protest, they lost 150 officers, down to 1,680. And there's been a massive increase in the response time to shootings from police. In fact, one of them, there was a 16-minute response time to a shooting. And, of course, the Texas governor was furious about this. Austin is incapable of timely response to a victim shot in the head. Texas won't tolerate that. We're about to pass a law that I will sign that will prevent cities from defunding police. No surprise there.
Based.
Yeah. New York, of course, it's not good. It's just not good. So they cut more than $1 billion from their $6 billion police budget last year, which obviously hasn't helped, and there's just been a massive surge in crime. It's just it's over the just consistent over the board. It's obvious what happens when you cut money to the police and you reduce the number of police. That is a green light to people who have criminal incentives and intentions and who are otherwise restrained by police forces. They don't commit crimes, so they're like, well, I don't want to get caught. Well, there aren't very many police. Oh, well, they won't get caught. And simple, right? And so this, what good has this done for the Black community? Well, none, as far as anyone can tell. I can't see any tangible improvements to the Black community. I don't know what statistics we could show that would show that things are getting better for the Black community. But Black Lives Matter did raise staggering amounts of cash. So as far as I'm aware, this is $90 million in individual donations that what was the average donation? $30 were the average like individual donations made by the random public. They raised $90 million. I mean, that's a hell of a lot just randomly to raise because, you know, whatever. The non-profit organization Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation revealed its finances for the first time, and they say that they've committed $21 million in grant funding to official and unofficial BLM chapters and Black-led organizations, but what's going on with the rest of it? I mean, that's a very small amount of $90 million, really. Yeah, that's a quarter of it. So what are you doing with the rest of it? And the problem is, lots and lots and lots of these small Black Lives Matter chapters are saying, well, where's our funding? And it doesn't seem to have materialized. Interestingly, corporate America pledged $1.6 billion to Black Lives Matter. Bank of America, $1 billion. Nike, $140 million. Sony, $100 million. Walmart, $100 million. Time Warner, or Warner Music Group, sorry, $100 million. Google, $37 million. Amazon, $10 million. Really, Amazon? Only $10 million, Amazon? I think you can afford a bit more than $10 million, can't you, Mr. Bezos? Goldman Sachs, $10 million. Facebook, $10 million. Like, I wouldn't want any of these companies funding me.
Also, just for a second, like, how many Black guys could you hire for that much money?
Huge amounts.
And instead, you just give it to BLM or BLM-like groups.
Yes.
Who then, what, cause defunding the police, which then causes more dead Black men.
Yes. I mean, where is the investment in Black communities gone? And the thing is, what would you even do with it? What's your plan? You know, the problem is, like we've repeated ad nauseum, and we're going to continue hammering this drum, is breakdown of the family, which is why you have, which is why you have kids stealing cars in the middle of the day, and the guy going like, well, why aren't they at school? Yes, why aren't they at school indeed? I guess we'll just never know. But,
I mean, like Bank of America, $1 billion. I mean, how many people could you hire? Just in random jobs or training? Nah, instead, we'll just burn it.
Yeah, we'll just, I mean, who knows where any of this money went? Right. This, like, I have no idea how we could account for.
We've got the houses.
We may as well get straight on to that since you spoil it. So Patrice Cullens, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, as reported on Lucy.com, took the loot and ran. She told the Associated Press that she felt the time was right to move on from the organization. Really? What is it about this timing that's so opportune and fortuitous It's just the right time. I mean, I've created the infrastructure and support necessary, the bones of the foundation, so I can leave. And do what? I thought you were here to help black lives. And she came out and was like, yeah, I have helped black lives. Mine.
How old is she?
37, I think.
So she's got the rest of her life to do what?
I don't know. Spend the money that she was given, I guess. But she actually went on TV and argued, it's totally in line with my self-professed Marxist teachings. If I take loads of money and buy massive houses, because I'm looking after my own. I'm looking after me and my family and my community. It's like, yeah, you are. But what about the rest of them? I thought black lives mattered, not just some black lives. You know. But there we go. What are you going to do? Of course, she had bought four houses, one of them being $1.4 million in a white majority district of LA, as well as several other million-dollar homes, which is nice if you can get it. Time to retire. You've done pretty well. I mean, I would suggest this looks like her taking the money and running. Yeah. But, I'm just a cynical guy, aren't I?
I mean, I also saw a listing there that they'd spent $15,000 on, like, luxury hotels.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, okay. So it's all the trips everywhere, anywhere,
yeah.
Luxury hotels, first class.
But, I mean, when you've been given $90 million in individual donations and then over $1 billion from corporate donations, $15,000 on a few luxury hotels is nothing. I'm not even bothered.
But I know, it's the capitalist element of it. Like, they're literally there in their top hats and suits.
Well, yes, I am a Marxist. How did you know? It was the monocle that gave it away, wasn't it?
It's only $15,000 for this suit, don't worry.
Incredible. Drop
in the ocean.
It's just such an incredible grift. And I hope there are black people in America who end up watching this and be like, hang on, have we been taken for fools? It's like, yes, you have. You have been taken by fools, for fools, by communists who have stolen your money and now set themselves up in incredibly nice areas. You're not going to see any of this. And this is what one Black Lives Matter local chapter founder in St. Paul, Rashad Turner, said. He has resigned. He's been with Black Lives Matter for a year and a half in his local area. And he resigned saying that the organization isn't concerned about helping black communities or helping improve the education quality in Minneapolis. No, I can't believe it. What, this massive grift that had gold poured into its pockets by places like Goldman Sachs don't care about black men. Wow. Staggering. Look, right. Listen, right. And this will apply to later segments we do in this podcast, right? If corporate America is backing you, if they put up your signs, if they give your organizations money, you're not a revolutionary. You are not doing anything that threatens the power structure. In fact, you are clearly a smokescreen that allows them to carry on doing whatever they're doing and suppressing those things that are actually dangerous to their way of life and their method of organization. You are not revolutionaries at all, right? But anyway, this is what he said.
It's not even just banks. Like, weapons manufacturers were endorsing BLM. Like, was it Northrop Grumthup or whatever what it is?
Yeah.
Like, they were handing out material within their organization of people who make bombs, of how to be a good revolutionary, and also donating millions of dollars to BLM.
It's amazing. It's like they knew it was controlled opposition or something. But he says, after a year on the inside, I learned they had little concern for rebuilding black families. They cared even less about improving the quality of education for students in Minneapolis. Now, I'm just saying, like, I reckon with only a tiny fraction of the money that Black Lives Matter raised in donations of $90 million, you could easily improve the quality of education in Minneapolis. You could hire good teachers, you could build good schools, you could use what is a massive amount of money, a huge war chest, to actually renovate the area and make it a livable place. Help people have some respect in the area in which they live. Maybe make them think, well, hang on a second, maybe the world isn't against us and maybe we can achieve something if we put our minds to it. Because I think most of the problem really is about motivation and, I can't think of a better term than motivation, but it'll come to me later.
Annoyingly. I've just Googled it. The number of people in Minneapolis is 420,000.
Yeah.
And if you take that $1.3 billion and just give it to everyone in Minneapolis equally, I mean, that's over $3,000.
Well, okay, but that's a good way to ruin them.
I know, but it's the thing of, like, it's so much money for such a small thing here, in which you're just saying, like, you could help people in Minneapolis, as he's asking. Like, you could just hire everyone. You could set up businesses and just hire everyone who's unemployed.
Set things up. Look, you got $90 million. What are you going to do with it? Well, we're going to, build a community center. That'll be like $10 million or something. And then we'll pay for 5 years of staffing. That'll be, however much. And then, boom, go.
There's five families you've just...
Exactly. And just, you're raising things up. But instead, Patrice has got a bunch of nice houses, so isn't that good? But anyway, you know, that was made clear when they publicly denounced the fact they don't care about education, was made clear when they publicly denounced charter schools alongside the teachers' union. I was an insider in Black Lives Matter. I learned the ugly truth. The moratorium on charter schools does not support rebuilding the black family, but it does create barriers to a better education for black people, black children. I resigned from Black Lives Matter after a year and a half. And Epoch Times give us a few statistics to go along with this. Support for Black Lives Matter has, of course, plummeted from 61% last May to 48% now. A USA Today survey found that 36% of Americans would describe Floyd's death as a murder, down from 60% last summer. So your boy Nelson did a good job in that court case, it looks like.
Proved his side.
He did. And a poll in May conducted by the newspaper revealed that Black Lives Matter's call to defund the police has even less support, with only 18% of respondents supporting it.
I mean, the fringe of the fringe.
The fringe. And I just can't get over, like, this has been like a six-year whirlwind, a political whirlwind that is... raised up so much energy from the media and from just the institutions of society, focused them in a single direction, raised huge amounts of money, and they have nothing to show for it. What has the black community gained from Black Lives Matter? If I was a black person in America, that would be the constant question I'd be asking. What has the black community gained? And the answer appears to be nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah, four houses for Patrice Cullens and a bunch of high-class hotels that they stayed in. Possibly a few expensive suits. But, they also did get some Spanish equality stamps, by the way. So, you know, yay! Good job, Black Lives Matter. You got equality stamps that are actually a form of racism. Because the light ones cost the most and the black ones cost the least. Can't even do that, right? Whose idea was this, actually? I mean, like, as you know, I'm not even a part of this movement or anything like that. But, like, obviously, you're like, right, okay, we're going to create racial stamps. Okay, well, the black ones will be the cheapest ones then. What is that? Are they the optics we're looking for? You know, well, we'll make the white ones really expensive. Oh, God. You know, I can't help but feel that this was done on purpose. Just saying. It feels like this was done on purpose. If you happen...
Literally, whites are worth twice as much as blacks.
More than.
Okay, Spain.
God. Just saying, we've got nothing to do with Spain. All we do
is disavow Spain.
Yeah, all we do is fight wars against Spain. So you know that's all we need. Anyway, and we may as well give you an update on the shooter of Sasha Johnson, British Black Lives Matter activist. As you can see from the picture,
the shooter or her?
Well. She's black, but as you can see from the picture of the suspect, he is a white supremacist. Oh, what was that? He's a fatherless black youth from the inner city who's fallen into drugs and gangs and crime and shot her by accident while trying to shoot someone else in a raid on this house party in Peckham. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What? Totally debunking the stereotypes, aren't you? God damn it, man. It's so transparent that all of this is a massive grift and nothing is going to improve.
I mean, literally the conservative talking point. That's the thing.
Yeah, you are literally the conservative talking point. And the thing
crime, you know, gangs is the thing you should be worried about. Yeah. Get shot by a black gangster.
Yeah, yeah. She gets shot by a black gangster. A youth gangster as well. You know, he's only 18. This kid's 18 years old. He shot her. He's going to have ruined his own life now. But the thing is, it's not like she's going to win Mother of the Year or anything. She's got two kids. What was she doing at a house party on a Sunday evening at 3 a.m.? Who's looking after her kids? What were you doing? You know, what were you doing there? What a complete degenerate you are to be doing that. God.
You know, she could have organized a babysitter.
I don't care. You know, like 3 a.m. on a Sunday, she should be at home. I have spoken. The prophet of dadism has spoken. But if she had stayed at home, wouldn't have gotten to this, would she? Wouldn't be in critical condition in hospital, would she? You know, I'm just saying, prudence. But incidentally, she was due in court. Did you know this? She was due in court because she was facing prosecution for racially abusing a police officer. Not exactly. Not exactly good optics, is it?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, we played the clips of Sasha Johnson in the past. Yep. I mean, really rotten personality.
Yep.
You know, saying the house ends need to be hung.
Yep.
The if you're a man who disagrees with her and you're black, you're a coon. Yep. Her words. Yeah. I mean, not surprised.
Vile person, terrible mother in a completely degenerate community. Just saying, you are the example. You are the example. But yeah, she was due to appear in court because she had racially harassed a police officer during a protest. And enjoy those, anti-free speech laws. You know.
Yeah, if this was America, you would be free. But
yeah, sorry. Not here. We don't have freedom of speech. And you're not allowed to call white police officers names. Or it might have been a black police officer you called names. But either way, you're not allowed to call anyone names based on their race. Sorry, Sasha. I know that sucks for your activism, but I guess you've got bigger problems right now. But anyway, there we go. Black Lives Matter. Massive grift hasn't helped the black community. All of their leaders are scum and totally, total grifters. I just can't get over it.
It's just the whole thing's burnt to the ground.
Yeah. The whole thing's failing.
Wow. I mean, I'm looking forward to like the internet historian roundup of the whole thing. I mean, there's a point to do it, isn't it? It's just like, look at all this and then look what happened.
The leaders of the movement are jettisoning from the movement. None of the money seems to have gone to any of the communities. And all of the leaders are in dire straits. The remaining leaders are in dire straits.
I mean, it makes Fire Festival look confident.
Competent. Yeah, it does, yeah.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
But yeah, terrible.
Are we doing this one now? Okay, whatever. I thought I was doing the other segment the first, but okay.
Whatever. No, we can do this one. I'll just
No, don't worry. We'll do the Pride one. It's fine. All right, so I'm a conservative, so we're going to celebrate Pride together. I absolutely love the I'm a conservative meme.
Same here.
So it's Pride Month first, so all the companies are slowly changing over their profile pictures from the BLM fist to the Pride logo, because I'm done playing with that now. I'm going to play with the other toy instead. So the first thing here I want to just bring up was Lego. Lego have decided to get on this. How have they done it? They've not just done a little logo. No, they've created a new set here for Pride. You can see there, you've got all the rainbow colours of the traditional Pride flag.
Who gets to be
flag.
The blue?
And then there's blue, pink, and white. I think blue is meant to represent men, pink, women, and white, non-binaries, something like that. Not white people.
I like the way they've got the orange representation.
Yep, and
don't want to leave Trump and his supporters out of this.
Yellow. I don't know if that's meant to be a race, because the last two they've added on there are black and brown, to represent black and brown people.
I can't. They even got Trump's hairstyle right. In fact, look at the orange guy. He's even got Trump's hair.
Well, is someone playing 4D chess there? They've actually done Trump. Anyway, so the next thing here is just Blue's Clues. This was amazing. So Blue's Clues, the kids show, decided to do a segment in which they celebrated Pride, and oh good God, it was not good. So they had this song from, I presume, trans or drag host singing about the different families that were coming down on the Pride parades.
Okay, and then, groomer.
And then singing about how wonderful these different families are. So if you can go to the next link here, this is just a Twitter link. If we can play it, but we're not going to do the audio, just so you can see what's on screen there. This one that we're looking at right now is a trans beaver with his...
it's...
What do you call them? What's a polite word for...
What's a polite word for a trans beaver? I don't know.
No, breasts. There we are. Oh. It has its breasts cut off.
Oh, yeah, it's got the scars. Yeah.
And they're celebrating that. So the artist made sure to put the scars in there, which
you don't want to be without those scars.
Just weird. Anyway, there's also a BLM symbol on her microphone. There's also on some of the flags, they have BLM symbols. There's an owl character who's lesbian and also wearing a hijab. So we have
the whole thing
homosexual
is...
Muslims in this. Sorry. It's so ridiculous where it's like, it's almost like a parody of the Pride...
I was going to say that. It's the least aesthetic thing I've ever seen. If I wanted to create a parody of it, I would probably make it something like this.
I mean, this really is what you'd pick. And also the fact that, that everything's celebrating and, you know, it's all in kids' atmosphere, as you show us the beaver with the breasts removed, is just weird. Anyway, so like some of the lyrics are like, ace, bi, and pan grown-ups. You can see them love each other so proudly. And it's like, I don't even know what half of those words mean. Well, ace, I know what bi means. I don't know what pan is or ace. God knows. Anyway, so I just wanted to mention the Muslims. They warned us about this. So we go to the next link. So just memory TV before their time. Anyway, so
let's go to the next. I mean, they're not wrong.
So we go to the next one here. This is just Pride Month. I see Liz Truss was trending because they were celebrating Pride here. So it's Pride Month, open brackets, except inside the head of Liz Truss, close brackets.
One quarter of the Pride swastika.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the pride swastika flag there. Mm. So if you're wondering about Liz Truss, what her crime is, so we go to the next one. We've mentioned this before, but I thought let's play it again because it's funny. So we get the clip with Liz Truss talking about do women have vaginas or not? And the answer that she gives
is it fair to say that a woman has a vagina?
Women do have vaginas, Nick.
I mean,
it's honestly like a clip from Brass Eye. Women do have vaginas. Okay, thank you. We weren't sure.
I love the wording as well. Is it fair to say that women have vaginas? As if you could say anything else.
But I like the way you've got it. This is what they've done to us. Yes, this is what they've done to us. We have to discuss whether women are the ones who have vaginas now because of the radical left.
God. I mean, where are we? I suppose we'll ask Tom Harwood anyway. So we go to the next one here. This is just the Entertainment Weekly. Every Pride Month, I remember the Entertainment Weekly's amazing obligatory Pride Month profile with EW as their logo. Literally says EW with the Pride symbol. This was last year or something, 2017. Yeah, they didn't think that one through. And you remember that Bethesda also had the same sort of problem. So we go to the next link here. There's just Bethesda listing. You see Bethesda France, Brazil, Bethesda or Pride. Bethesda Russia, not so much.
Bethesda Middle East. What's TR?
I don't know. It's Lord Voldemort, I guess. This is a Bethesda branch. Anyway, but yeah, it's Pride Day in the Anglosphere, but outside the Anglosphere, might want to cut that. So... happens every single year without fail, and this year is no exception, of course. So the best thing I've seen is you go to the next one, which is BMW. So there should be a BMW link in there, which is just the BMW. So this is after this. So yeah, you see BMW there. Diversity is embedded in our DNA. It enriches us and keeps our minds open to change. This month and throughout the year, hashtag Pride Month. And then BMW Pride logo, BMW Saudi Arabia, not today.
Maybe it's because they use a different calendar in Arabia. And, you know, there's next month that's Pride Month, Callum. Have you considered?
Yeah. I'm sure in the Islamic calendar they have a different month section off of Pride Month in the year 605 or whatever God it is.
Yeah, which month is Pride Month in the Islamic calendar? That's a really good question.
I'll have to consult the Quran.
That's a question I really want answers to.
BMW, if you can enlighten us. I mean, with the irony being as well, you know, BMW, a company that used slave labor during the Holocaust, exclusively made engines for the Nazis. Like, they've apologized for this in the past, but I noticed how Volkswagen have kept their mouth shut this Pride. Mm. No Pride logo on there, because they're like, I don't really want to talk about our past.
Just goes against their founding principles.
But BMW, I don't know. I mean, the 50,000 slaves they used from the Holocaust, not so concerning to them, I guess. So also is the British. The British are also doing the cringe. God. So the Conservative government, because we're all Conservatives here. So this is the account. So you can see gov.uk and HM Treasury, just a random government accounts on Twitter, using the Pride symbol for behind. But not Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs or the Cabinet Office. They decided to buck the trend of just using the Pride symbol. They've gone with the racial Pride flag. As you mentioned, the swastika Pride flag. If you make four of them together, it makes a swastika. And as you can see, the black and brown stripe in there being for racial groups.
And transgenders.
Yeah, but I gotta wonder, like, because it's all about sexuality, or at least that's what Pride meant to be about, like, you sexually identifying as black? Like, not racially identifying as black, but sexually identifying as black. So I don't know, it makes your schlong longer or something. Cabinet office.
Just deeply disappointing on Tinder. This white guy turns up, well, I sexually identify as a black guy.
Well, I'm not racially identifying as black. I'm not Rachel Dolezal, but sexually I'm black. Oh, boy.
It's a flag for Sean King.
But just the different people who run these accounts, like, it's not unified, as you can see. There are different people running them. And in the cabinet office, they've gone with racial pride. Whereas in the Treasury, they're just going with normal Pride.
Look, Conservatives, what you need to do is create some sort of directive that forbids any of this, forbids changing any of this for any kind of political activism at all, for any reason whatsoever. And that's the fair way to do this.
Yeah. I mean, if I was running any of these accounts, the standard should be that if there is a public holiday in this country, we will celebrate that, and that's it.
Yeah, sure.
So, St. George's Day, or, you know, things like this. It's like, that's a British holiday. Here's the celebration. Here's your little graphic for all the people who want it. And then, nada.
But even then, I could see people objecting to that and be like, okay, well, you know, fair, you know, this is...
How dare we celebrate our own holidays and that's it?
Well, yeah.
But why are we celebrating my foreign holidays?
Well, exactly. but I could see people objecting to it. And so the easy answer is say you don't celebrate anything. You don't change it. You just leave it because it's a bloody government account. It's not like a fun thing. It's professional. But anyway.
It's either nothing or British holidays. That's the two options. Anything else outside of this is the incorrect decision. I mean, particularly the racial pride flag cabinet office.
Yeah, the Conservative government are probably going to make these British holidays at some point.
God.
So this is why it should be nothing.
Yeah, ideally nothing. I do actually agree. Because it's the same with the police.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing for political parties, but for non-partisan organizations, I mean, like the cabinet office here is just meant to represent the cabinet office, the civil servants. Mm. In which case,
to be an apolitical institution. Same with HM. All of these, the government accounts, the government institutions, they're meant to be apolitical. That is disgusting and deeply Islamophobic.
So if we go to the next one, there should be the Conservative Party. Of course, they're celebrating Pride Month because they're a conservative. But... they're doing it exactly as you'd expect. A little logo there saying Happy Pride Month and then the text.
The Rainbow Conservative Flag.
As Pride Month begins, we celebrate the positive contributions made to the UK every day by the LGBT+ community. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? They don't think for a second. Like, they're not going to treat gay people as individuals who just happen to be gay. Nah, you're part of the collectivized alphabet people. I mean this just Labour ideology. We've collectivized the gay into a group. We're going to give them an alphabet, and that's all they are. They can't be people. They're going to be LGBTs.
I just love the way that Labour are raising the black flag and the Conservatives are raising the pride flag, and I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
Like, what is wrong? I don't know who's subverting who.
Yeah, just what? It's
God.
Embarrassing. If I was a Conservative, I would be really embarrassed.
Yeah, so the next one here is just my response to it, and I've clipped this clip from yesterday because I think it's fantastic. And I think it's the perfect thing to use against these kinds of nonsense posts, so let's play it.
Hey, Conservatives, do you remember that you're f***ing Conservatives? God!
It's going to get a lot of use. Okay, I'm going to be using that one a lot anyway.
I hate it.
Yeah, so we go to the next one, which is just what's happening in Labour land. So in Labour land, of course, they're also celebrating Pride, but if you can scroll up here, you can see their post in which they're using exactly the same rhetoric, because of course they are. You know, the Labour Party stands with LGBT+ people.
How do I know that that's not actually a Conservative activist operating the Labour Party's Twitter account? I don't. It's basically the same thing, just with the logo at the bottom changed.
Yeah. We've collectivised the gay into a group, given them an alphabet. That's all they are. Can't be individuals. Can never judge them on that. It's the group characteristic that's important. So says the Conservatives. But I love the response here from Keir whatever, you know, some Palestinian flag socialist, presumably. So he says, prove it. Support Stonewall and suspend Rosie Duffield. So Stonewall being the obvious thing of they've gone to the point where they're accusing everyone who thinks that women are women as anti-Semites. Stunning and brave. So they're getting put up against the wall by the Conservative government, which, okay, fair enough. Liz Truss.
Yeah,
Liz Truss, the only good
basically
Conservative
is
around. Okay, apart from Cammy Badenoch and, as you mentioned, Dominic Raab. But she's solid on this.
Philip Davies is pretty good too.
Philip Davies, based as well. Great guy. So,
but look, we've got literally one hand's worth of good Conservatives.
Like we've got like 300 of them, like Conservative MPs.
No, should, like 380 of them.
Exactly. I mean, there should be some spades, just amazing people, but not huge numbers. So the thing here they're saying about Rosie Duffield, though, you might not know who she is. I do, because I used to live in Canterbury, and she's the MP for there. I hate her. Because she's awful.
Go
but
on.
She's a TERF MP.
Ooh.
So that's the only redeeming feature she's got, which is that she believes women are women. When I wrote to her about Count Dankula, incidentally, she just ignored my physical mail, emails, and phone calls. So screw her.
Well,
I really didn't want to listen to me. So that's why I'm particularly angry at her. But also, she's against race mixing, which
what?
Is weird. So this is Guido Fawkes here reporting, and I remember when this happened. So I was disappointed to see that Canterbury's latest venue, Tokyo Tea Rooms, took such a culturally insensitive approach on their opening night last weekend. You can scroll down here. I'm really pleased to see that student representatives from Kent Union and Canterbury Christchurch University have spoken out against this nightclub and discouraged students from attending. What was their crime? Cultural appropriation. Why? Because a couple of white girls have been hired as presumably, you know, waitresses or mascots.
Oh, how
and,
awful.
And they dressed up as geishas. So they put white paint on them, on their face, and, you know, got a
Sorry,
fan out.
A couple of white girls did white face. And that's bad.
I mean,
if they're not entitled to do it, who is?
Wait, that's a
why can't we be like Japan? That's really offensive to our culture.
Can black guys get the shoe polish out? Is that okay? I mean, that's a question.
Are you going to raise an issue about it?
I mean, you're being racially insensitive to yourself. But this is cultural appropriation because they dared to wear kimonos and wear makeup. I mean, really brain dead individual. I really can't stand her. I mean, how dare you race mix? How dare you interact with different cultures? Stay in your own culture. You know, I'm full kind labor. It's so ridiculous.
We have a cultural apartheid for a reason, did you not know?
God. Anyway, so if you're wondering what this might be about, I have a bit of a hint, though, which is if you go to the next link, if you just look up Tokyo Tea Rooms, everyone should visit, by the way, seems all right, you can see on their website, conservatives took a picture there. There seems to be some kind of conservative event, presumably Conservative Party having a meeting or a speech or summon. And that's their real crime, isn't it? They dare to give free speech to the opposition. They dare to have someone there who disagreed with you.
Platform the opposition. Of course they're bad.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's Conservative Pride Month. And God, it's going to go on all month. So that's going to be fun.
If you happen to be a member of the Conservative Party, by the way, just, you know, paid up member, do send them an email complaining that they are allowing themselves to be subverted by communists. Because Pride Month is not going to come as any great surprise that Pride Month is obviously deeply rooted in communist activism in America.
Yeah, instantly. I mean, it's a collectivist worldview.
Well, yeah, but like the original activists who began it after the Stonewall riots, who like continued on with it, were of course radicals. So they're a bunch of commies. And it's like, okay, well, great. Why is this a communist import from America? The conservatives are like, yay, we're so in favor of this. We've got a little pride flag. Why? It's nothing to do with Britain. It's nothing to do with your ideology or worldview. What are you doing?
It's got nothing to do with gay tolerance or gay acceptance either. It is entirely to do with collectivist ideology, which is why they collectivise the groups into little alphabets and why the alphabet never ends.
Why
do you think they're always adding on letters and then gave up and just put a plus at the end?
There's no limit to the unionisation of it, is there?
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm a conservative. Just love doing that. Anyway, so we're going to go on now to the COVID lab theory. Oh God. Sorry. Autoplay.
CNN are talking to us. Thanks, CNN.
Yeah, goddamn CNN autoplays.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
yes.
I don't know if I should wait for that to start playing so we can hear...
No, that's right, John's on.
Okay, we got it.
That's all right. These things happen.
Yeah. So the COVID lab theory, as it's sort of been known. So the idea that the COVID virus came from the Wuhan lab, the lab for viruses. So
yes, the theory that would get people suspended from practically any Silicon Valley social media.
Yeah, it turns out it's a false truth. So it's true, but it's false at the same time.
Mm.
I mean, this might be a first in all of internet history, something that became unpersoned, an unsayable thing that has now come back, has been repersoned.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, they were never away. This was always true. And how dare you say that something went wrong? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible that the editorial policies of Silicon Valley and the media, informed by the media, have turned out to be hiding a truth.
Mm. So the first thing here is just the reporting at the Times, so CNN Politics here, calls it CNN. President Trump contradicts the US intel community by claiming he's seen evidence that the coronavirus originated in a Chinese lab. So CNN saying, yeah, he's just talking nonsense here. He's contradicting the US intel
well
community.
Done, US intelligence community, for really being on top of that.
I love CNN here. We're journalists, which is why we trust the CIA.
Yes. they said, I mean...
Anyway, so we get the next one here. This isn't the only time that they try to poo-poo. So Anthony Fauci just crushed Donald Trump's theory on the origins of coronavirus.
Imagine taking Fauci seriously as a source of authority on anything. I mean, he is literally, if you were to lay out every position, he has held every single one of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely every single one of them. Often within only a few weeks of contradicting himself. It's incredible.
What's happened to the editorial standards as well? Because, I mean, at least CNN used to give the pretense of being a news organization. I mean, it's crushed Donald Trump. Like, it looks like a YouTube, SJW cringe compilation.
This guy's Chris Silliza, and he does basically YouTube videos.
Editor at large for CNN.
Exactly. All he does is opinion pieces. So.
Oh, boy. I mean, we had a joke in the office about, like, renaming things and being like, yeah, leftist scum did this. But CNN's already beat us to it, I guess. So. Anyway, so there's that. And then the next thing here is Donald Trump. So he spoke about this theory. As we mentioned, he said that he'd seen evidence of it. And if we can go to the clip of him, this is him saying exactly that.
Have you seen anything at this point that gives you a high degree of confidence that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was the origin of this virus?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And I think that the World Health Organization should be ashamed of themselves, because they're like the public relations agency for China. And this country pays them almost $500 million a year, and China pays them $38 million a year. And whether it's a lot or more, it doesn't matter. It's still, they shouldn't be making excuses when people make horrible mistakes, especially mistakes that are causing hundreds of thousands of people around the world to die. I think the World Health Organization should be ashamed of themselves.
Got Trump absolutely on the money there, isn't he?
I mean, your prophecy about him looking more and more golden by the minute.
I told you, he was right about everything.
I mean, it's almost like Alex Jones was right levels of, you know, you look back and being like, oh, yeah, he was right.
Yeah, and like, it just amazes me how Donald Trump is literally ahead of the curve on all of these things. He's turned out, he proved to be right on a bunch of things, like, you know, the economy, coronavirus, you know, just international policy, you know, foreign relations, all of these things. Everything that Donald Trump was doing was right. Everything that Joe Biden has done has been in opposition to Trump on the basis that it is oppositional to Trump. And it's all been wrong. And it's all turned out badly.
And as mentioned, in response to him saying that, CNN were like, yeah, but what about what the CIA says? Which is,
well, why would I care about that?
just you're completely talking nonsense. And Anthony Fauci has crushed Donald Trump's ridiculous theory until the evidence came out. And then all of a sudden, we have to go back and we have to pretend that we never said that this didn't happen. So this is the Wall Street Journal reporting here. Intelligence on six staff at Wuhan lab fuels debate on COVID-19 origin.
I remember when this first started coming out and people were like, oh, no, that's nonsense. It's conspiracy theory. That's nonsense.
Wall Street Journal, conspiracy theorist. Yep. Report says researchers went to hospital in November 2019, shortly before confirmed outbreak, and add calls for probe of whether the virus escaped the lab. So a bunch of the people working at the virology lab got sick with COVID-19 symptoms, and this is obvious evidence that it may have come from the lab. But that's a conspiracy theory, until it's not. And now it was never a conspiracy theory. That's thinking in mind. This was never a conspiracy theory now. That's how it works. In the same way that when someone's unpersoned in 1984, they never existed. Now they've been repersoned, they never not existed.
If the party determines it, then it is.
Yeah, so Hugo did some great reporting on this. So if we go to the next article, this is on lotuses.com, listing the evidence. So the US House Intelligence Committee released a report with the specific claims. The claims first, that China has a history of research lab leaks resulting in infections. There were warnings from US diplomats in China as early as 2017 that the Wuhan lab was conducting dangerous research on coronaviruses without following the necessary safety protocols, risking an accidental outbreak of a pandemic. Which that's the claim. So gain of functions research being conducted at a Wuhan lab that made coronaviruses more infectious to humans. And also several researchers, as mentioned, in the lab were sick with COVID-19-like symptoms in fall 2019.
And have you seen, oh, I should have got this for this segment. Have you seen Fauci talking about this?
I think I do later on. So.
Right, okay.
So they also mentioned that the involvement of the Wuhan lab has the Chinese military involved, which has documented program for biological weapons. And there are multiple indications of attempts by Beijing to cover up the true circumstances of the COVID-19 outbreak, because they don't want you to find out. Mm-hmm. Why would they not want you to find out if it's just some random animal? I mean, who cares? Some random animal created a virus.
Came from a bat.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to cover that up? I mean, who cares? But if it came from a lab that your government's running, and you're the ones engaging in dangerous research and risking leaks, that's something you might want to cover up.
I mean, quite early last year, I remember it being like discovered by the internet. In fact, you know, this could have come from the wet market. And then it's like, well, look, a mile away is literally a laboratory that's researching these exact viruses. Yeah, okay, yeah, you know, like, let's be real. You know, let's put two and two together. That would be, if you were an investigative detective, that would be the first place you'd look.
Yeah.
That's just...
I mean, that's what Donald Trump did, and then he's a conspiracy theorist for saying it. How dare he? So we get the next one here. Of course, Biden now has ordered an investigation into whether or not this theory is true, because now it's always been true, comrades. It was never not true. So also, CNN has decided to blame President Trump for not investigating whether the Wuhan virus lab theory was to be taken seriously. Oh, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? So we're going to play this clip, which is CNN saying that he didn't do enough.
This matters. Understanding where coronavirus and how the pandemic began matters. A lot of the discussion about the lab leak, I think, was clouded early on because there was the suggestion by some that it was somehow a Chinese weapon that caused this.
Oh, that'd be ridiculous.
That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a lab accident. But we've come a long way from people dismissing this as a conspiracy theory to a lot of people taking this seriously, Maggie.
We have, John. And look, I do think it's important to remember that part of the issue when this was first being reported on and discussed back a few months after the pandemic had begun was that then President Trump and Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, both suggested they had seen evidence that this was formed in a lab, and they also suggested it was not released on purpose, but they refused to release the evidence showing what it was. And so because of that, that made this instantly political. I think that it was, you know, example 1000 when the Trump administration learned that when you have burned your own credibility over and over again, people are not immediately going to believe you, especially in an election year.
That's amazing. That's just amazing. As if they were sat there going, well, look, we approached you in good faith, Mr. Trump.
Which is why we titled our headlines, Anthony Fauci crushes Donald
Trump.
Yeah,
we gave you the benefit of the doubt, but you didn't provide us with any evidence. And so, you know, what were we supposed to think? It's not that we went on a four-year bender with 90% negative media coverage across the entire spectrum of media, trying to do everything we could to crush or usurp you from your position as the president. I mean, you know, you give us a break. I hate it. I hate it.
They also tried to dismiss that Trump and whatnot had claimed that it came from the lab by saying that, oh, some people were claiming that it was because of the Chinese weapons. And it's like, that's a possibility, but Trump didn't actually claim that.
No.
As you saw in the clip, he just says, no, there's evidence it came from the lab.
And that's, to be honest with you, I wouldn't rule it out. Jesus.
So, I mean, also, just yeah, why rule it out? It's, you know, things are possible. Mm. So also just in there, that we can't be expected to do journalism without the government telling us the news is essentially their attitude.
Yep.
Just if the CIA or the president hasn't given us the news, what are we meant to do? All we do is chew on pencils all day at CNN.
But that's exactly the crisis in modern journalism, is that they don't do journalism anymore. All they are is essentially a public relations outfit for whatever the authorities are around them. Oh, the FBI said this, the CIA said this, the CDC said this, the... What's the international health body again?
World Health Organization.
That's it. You know, they said this, and therefore that's the end of our work. We log off. You know, we just do all of our work on Twitter now. We get their Twitter. You know, they announce on Twitter. We take that. We put that into an article, and then we say job done. That's journalism now.
Like your entire outlet is just a retweet.
Yeah,
that's it.
Which Twitter aggregators. Hmm. That's what modern journalists are.
Okay. Like, for all the crap the failing New York Times gets, I have seen they still do occasionally, like, a really good piece in which they investigate a thing and tell you, hey, this evidence has come out and, you know, this, and this, and we've been able to put together.
Wow.
But CNN, nah, just Donald Trump destroyed by Anthony Fauci, number 550. It really just sound like a cringe compilation. So also the fact checkers, remember the fact checkers will come out in force. So this is Jack Posobiec listing here. So this is one of these fact checkers, new fact checker. What was the coronavirus accidentally released from a Wuhan lab? It's doubtful. And then there's another one where he's dunking on Ted Cruz for daring to say that it might have come from the lab. And the last one is just him saying, maybe it came from the lab.
How it suddenly became credible.
It utterly destroys. What's the point in a fact checker? Nothing, because they can't exist. It is a non-job. It is a thing that cannot make sense.
All they're here to do is confirm whatever it is that the cathedral has said about.
Like the orthodoxy. What the historian consensus is just true, for example. That's not how this works.
Yeah, we're here to confirm the orthodoxy. That's what they are.
That's not science. That's not investigation. That's nothing. Yeah. That's just saying that what is currently being told is true.
It's propaganda.
Sure. I mean, the whole thing, what you're meant to do is come out and say, hey, there's new evidence to suggest that the orthodoxy might be wrong. But nah, fact checkers are just there to say that the orthodoxy is right. The orthodoxy is right. The orthodoxy is right. Because they can do nothing else. I mean, it's just Ministry of Truth. Anyway, so Facebook Ministry of Truth also has this problem because, of course, they rely on fact checkers. And yet they will censor you as they previously did on this whole thing. Just wanted to mention here as well, which is just Anthony Fauci, as you said, are you confident that the coronavirus 19 virus developed naturally? Dr. Fauci, no, I'm not convinced.
I mean, he literally was the voice they used, as Chris Cizilla showed earlier. He was the voice they used to say, no, it obviously didn't come from a lab. Impossible, came from a bat.
I mean, amazed. He's held both positions on this. What a man.
With unrivaled authority. That's the problem. I don't know why Fauci is given any credibility or time of day. He's obviously a liar, and I want to know whose payroll he's on, because I'm absolutely certain that he's being paid by someone.
Like, what is the point in having a health professional who tells you literally every opinion? Like, that's not helpful. That's not an advisor. An advisor who tells you, yeah, I think this and this, but they're contradictory. And you literally, you know, it's like a binary. Is this true or is this not true? They're like, yeah, both of them. But I mean, you're fired. Get someone else in.
But the thing is, he just seems to be so obviously lying when he's delivering his messages. You know, he said, well, you know, this and this. And it's like, yeah, but you said, well, you know, I've just changed my mind. It's like, so you just are, you're just a weather vane.
Yeah.
You know, so, you just point in the direction that the narrative is flowing.
So this chap here noticing that when you entertained this idea last year, you were deplatformed.
Yeah.
Social media would just get rid of you. Although they've now changed that, as mentioned. So if you go to the next one here, this is just Facebook saying that they won't crack down. They're no longer treating man-made COVID as a crackpot idea. So
social media platforms should not have editorial policies. They should not be able to crack down on, you know, crackpot ideas. All ideas can be considered crackpot.
Everyone warned you about this. If you make yourselves the arbiter of truth, you will run into a situation where you decided something was true and then it turns out not to be. And then you will have egg on your face, as has happened with Hunter Biden, as has now happened with this, as has happened with a million things you can probably think of things that Facebook's like, nah, that's totally nonsense. And it just turns out to be true. Yeah. And then what?
Look at the rod you've made for your own backs.
Awful. I mean, people should really feel awful about this, but they won't, will they? But there's another argument, which is, yeah, but if you think it came from a lab, you racist. What a defense. So you post this on your Facebook page. Do you want to read this?
Yeah, so this is the New York Times reporter who was tasked in covering the coronavirus, Apoorva Mandavilli. And she said, someday we will stop talking about the lab leak theory and maybe even admit its racist roots, but alas, that day is not yet here. No, that day is not yet here. It seems that actually the lab leak theory may well be true, and I don't see how you can call that racist, but, you know, I don't work for the New York Times.
Yeah, I mean, this is one wokeness to your brain, but you know what is racist? Being woke. So, I mean, you mentioned this earlier, but I wanted to go into more detail because I think it's absolutely hilarious, which is the stamps. So we go back to the stamps. This is the Washington Post posting here. Spain's postal service introduces skin-tone stamps to fight racism and makes the whitest ones the most valuable. Yeah. So they say, this is obviously coming from a race and gender socialist perspective, the wokest perspective, which is that we need to highlight the inequalities between races, and therefore they've made different prices for the different skin tones. I mean, you can't pin this on anyone else. You can't pin this on the liberals. You can't pin this on the conservatives. You can't pin this on anyone except the progressives. It's entirely your will.
You wanted race stamps. Just remember that.
Yeah. So they say in here, the darker the stamp, the less value it will have. The state-owned company called Cerros said in the news, among its announcing its launch. So the company that did this, that's what they said. The darker the stamp, the less value it will have.
Sling
and brave.
Therefore, when making a shipment, it will be necessary to use more black stamps than white ones. That way, each letter in each shipment will become a reflection of the inequality created by racism. I mean,
what a defense.
Yeah, look, we're literally creating a bunch of racist stamps, and that will show that society is racist.
It's like, look, I love how the progressives in Spain are like, there's no racism. Right, we'll create some, and then that'll demonstrate that there's racism in society. Yeah, well, I mean, million IQ take.
Just literally on purpose, they've created racist stamps. I didn't even know that. I hadn't looked into this.
So they also say, in releasing the stamps, Carreros collaborated with SOS Racismo, a federation of Spanish anti-racism non-governmental organizations. So, of course, the anti-racist part.
The anti-racist created a nice series of racism.
Yeah. In a statement, SOS Racismo said, campaign's intention was to make this reality of racial discrimination visible.
Well, I mean, you did.
I mean, if you make racial discrimination, you certainly will make it visible. The next campaign for SOS Racismo is to just shout the N-word, everyone crossing the border. Look at the racism. We filmed ourselves screaming the N-word at massive random black guys.
I love this government-owned company literally has an active policy of racism. We're the anti-racists.
I think they're a non-governmental organization, but...
Oh, I thought they were owned by the government.
Like, for the next thing they're going to do, they're going to set up a live stream. They're going to hire some black guy, have him sit in the chair, and the white guy sit in the chair opposite. Film him, and just have the white guy scream the N-word 24/7 in this live stream. And this will demonstrate the visibleness of racism in our society. it's such amazing thinking. Oh, boy. So they continue to try and defend themselves. We have seen it these days in what is it, Sueta? Still not going to get it right, Spaniards.
Yeah.
So the place in which a bunch of migrants are trying to cross unduly. Yes.
A place where a bunch of people who weren't black were trying to get into Spain.
Yeah, because Gibbs job.
Yeah.
There was no war there.
Black Lives Matter, go on.
So we have seen it these days in Sueta. We see it every day in the Mediterranean. In the growing xenophobic and racist discourses that are taking hold in Europe.
What I love about this, right, before I go on, like, if you look at, like, just the genes of the Mediterranean, if you look at, like, a haplogroup map, it's basically all the same. Basically, it's just the same genetic pool in the Mediterranean. So it's like, oh, we're being racist to those people who are exactly the same as us, but just live in a different country.
I love it. Don't worry, Spanish SOS racismo. We the English are here to tell you, you're not white anyway. So who cares?
Yeah.
You're about as white as the Moroccans to us. So
I'm not even joking, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, your genetics as well.
Anyway,
just the idea that there's xenophobic and racist discourse taking hold in Europe by us at SOS Racismo, so we need to demonstrate it again.
Oh, I mean,
what a way to think. So in a news release accompanying the introduction of the stamps, it said they were timed to coincide with the commemoration of European Diversity Month and the first anniversary of George Floyd's death on Tuesday. They did this to celebrate George Floyd Day. They put out racist stamps of different prices depending on your skin tone. Oh, man. It's so comical. I can't get over it. I mean, what reminds me of as well is the Ottoman slave trade. Because I don't know if you know, but when they used to sell slaves, there's a listing somewhere, I'll have to find it, where they list, if you want a sub-Saharan, it's this price, an Arab girl, it's this price. And it was like Ukrainians were the highest price. And
really?
It's literally like the stamp system in which...
Oh, God.
God, yeah. I don't really have anything else to say, but that's real racism, unlike just saying that the virus came from the lab, which is not racism. It's just something that's come back to being a false truth, I guess. Thanks, Facebook.
And just to be clear, we don't know that the virus came from the lab, it's just that it seems to be a viable theory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more disgusted by the fact of this is totally false, ban it, and now it's been repersoned, and now it's never not been false.
Yeah, I mean, we have no particular insider information or anything. It just seems like it could be a strong theory, because, I mean, they do have a lab in Wuhan doing experiments on novel coronaviruses with the intent of making them more transmissible to humans using, what was it, humanized mice? It's like, okay, well, it definitely didn't come from the lab. Okay, thanks, Fauci. You know, thanks for that input. You
but
know.
At the same time, Dr. Fauci,
I guess
I'm not convinced it didn't come from the lab.
Yeah, I guess he got his two stacks and then they, I don't know, stopped giving them or something.
Anyway, right. Let's go to the video comments.
Mashallah, my fellow reddest of the Calumfid, we must defeat our oppressor of the Keto fascist. This is the way of the Calumfid and of the breadists.
Yeah,
may bread be with you.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar.
I hope you're happy with what you've done. You could have gone for keto sharia, but instead you've turned into a bread jihadi.
Yeah. Well, at least there's no Blue Clues cartoons in my caliphate, so.
Just saying.
Look, swings and roundabouts, all right? I mean, sometimes Islam is right about... No, I'll end it there.
Hey, Carl. So I was talking about the show yesterday with a friend at a bar, and a slightly angry woman at the table next to me said that Carl should be in jail for what he said about Jess Phillips. I said, you think he should be in jail for that? He should definitely be in jail for his full-blown murder of Thomas Smith. It was caught on video. Hey, guys. Loving the book club, as always. I know you said perhaps you're finished with dystopians, but I thought maybe since we've had quite a bleak outlook, we could round it off with something a little bit more lighthearted. How about Idiocracy? Could be fun.
That's not a bad idea, actually. So you can know, because there are a lot of things in Idiocracy that have kind of come to pass.
What was I about to say?
I just love the way that they're in, like, Aberdeen or somewhere. There's this woman who's just fuming mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, she's just sat there going, oh, that Carl Benjamin, oh, he's be in jail. It's like...
But also, where's Thomas Smith these days, I wonder?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, like, last I saw, I was probably arguing for deplatforming himself for being too white.
Probably dilating or something.
I don't know. He's going on the list of where are they now. We'll do it for an episode.
Hey guys, regarding the transgender issue, chromosomes are frequently used as justification for the sex or gender spectrum, and particularly for justifying transgenderism as a physical reality rather than a psychological issue. And I'm wondering why no one seems to argue that chromosomes are irrelevant in determining the labels. Yes, chromosomes are part of the mechanism that creates your sex, just like they're part of the mechanism that determines your height or the shape of your face, as is clearly demonstrated with Down syndrome and Fragile X syndrome. But they're not the thing that we use to label someone's sex, just like they're not used to label your height or your shoe size. The label is decided by what reproductive organs you are born with or have at the moment. And this is backed up by the whole of history and nature. We've existed for 2.4 million years from Homo habilis, or 300,000 years if you want to stick to Homo sapiens, and have been distinguishing things as male or female that whole time. Yet chromosomes were only discovered 146 years ago, so obviously they were not being used to label sex. Further to this, all creatures in existence are able to identify members of their own species as male or female, even though they still have no knowledge of chromosomes. So what chromosomes you happen to have is obviously irrelevant. And using this approach, it also means that not having a full set of one type of organs does not mean that you are automatically part of the opposite sex, because you have to lose your original set and gain the full opposite set in order to transition, thus nullifying the stupid argument that this approach would mean that a woman who has a hysterectomy is no longer a woman.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong.
No, I'm sort of in awe at the picture there. So
yeah, I was thinking I'm going to make that on my desktop background.
Yeah, so people listening, it's an image of the emperor of the Central African Empire, who was a nut job. I don't know if you know about him. So he was in the French military, and he became a bit obsessed with Napoleon, and decided that he was Napoleon of Africa.
Based.
And decided to make himself emperor, crowned himself in the same way Napoleon did, but in like sweltering African heat, covered in like clothes. And
Chad.
I love how he put the side there, like, oh yeah, the original copyright goes to the Central African Empire. Yeah, but then it's a picture of Carl in the robes, so.
Hey guys, I was wondering how, if John Cena can tell us how to say bite the pillow in Chinese.
I imagine that he can. Nice shirt, by the way. Limited offer. They're not available anywhere now.
Callum, last week you talked a lot about the people with that crazy commune and their earthbag houses, and you said who on earth would want to live in a mud hut. I agree with you about the crazy commune, however I would like to point out that most of us here in Britain also live in mud huts. It's just that we cook our mud first.
Well, he's got you, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got me there. I mean, it was mostly kind of a bit. Like, we got messages from people who either work or have earthbag homes, is what they're called, being like, no, look, there's a process and all the rest of it. And I feel like just going, nah, mud hut, in response. Anyway.
All Republicans are white supremacists. And to figure out whether or not someone is a white supremacist, you have to use inductive reasoning, because they're going to try and be all swarthy like Richard Spencer. Now, Sargon claims he's against immigration for cultural reasons, but in reality, he just hates black people, and he needs to submit himself to the mob. Also, I think we should just glass Israel.
I wondered who that was then till the end.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, okay, which bread tuber is this? But then it became very obvious.
Greetings, Lotus Eaters. I work for my local tax collector here in California. And so if you're interested in California tax law and how property taxes work, I'd be willing to explain that. Also, my question / suggestion is to make dadism a religion, and then we have various policies on how we feel about vaccinations and body autonomy and such. And then, you know, maybe people could actually, you know, not be required to have the vaccine to get a job any longer. And then this is Coco. She's my co-pilot, and she says hi.
No.
Oh, hello, Coco.
Nice shirt.
Yeah. Although, it's a great point, which is in British law, we have an exemption for religious practices for pretty much anything you can think of. And, of course, that's ridiculous, because then you could be like, yeah, I want to cut off my child's clitoris. Mm. That's my religion. You have to respect it. Which is why we have such an awful debate in the UK about female genital mutilation, which they finally criminalised, but still have no convictions for. Surprise, surprise. So if you can make a religion and just say, right, this is a religion, and we believe that, you know, I don't have to pay taxes, I don't have to get the vaccine, so on and so forth.
I mean, I think that's a great idea, but there is something kind of weird about me writing a religious book.
As an atheist?
Yeah.
What if it's just for get out of jail free cards from the government?
Yeah, but in like 100 years, people might not realize that.
Uh-huh. And you could write it on page one.
They might. Well, I don't want to accidentally start an actual religion.
Well, it makes me think of that, what was it, the Red Dwarf joke, where they find an original copy of the Bible,
yeah,
and the first page is all of the characters and events in this book are fictional.
Mm.
Anyway.
Regarding the border debate, the two sides are arguing within different modes. Conservatives are arguing from the practical mode, which is, this works, it protects us, therefore it is good. The progressives are arguing from the philosophical mode, which is, these are arbitrary lines which were established by people who had no more right to establish them than we have to re-establish them today, which I admit I have a difficult time arguing against. We all know the practical case for strong borders. Is there a philosophical case?
Yes, but I'll have to go into it at greater length. Sorry.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Ah, Mr. Benjamin, welcome back. I have enjoyed your content for many a year now, but lately your dietary choices have left me with much to be desired. Your constant carb bashing, sir, frankly, it fills me with disgust. The idea that eating bread is an act of wicked sin, but eating cheese is a benevolent act of God, is sheer lunacy. If you are the keto Sharia, then I am the based bishop at the Church of Carbohydrates. And my sermon to the world is thus. Go ye into the world, especially you, Callum, and eat as much bread, rice, pasta, and potatoes as you damn well please. No longer will you listen to this false prophet and his blasphemous preaching of heresy. Now that being said, I am a forgiving member of the clergy, and as such, it is my duty to pull Mr. Benjamin's soul here back onto the benevolent path of righteousness. And I do believe in unification more than I do than separation, so perhaps a reconciliation of our two sides is in order. Case in point this. I do believe this is something that we can all get behind, gentlemen. Cheers, lads.
God, you wish they were that tolerant.
And thus we have the voice of Satan.
See what I mean?
presenting... No, listen. This is how Satanism is always presented. It's appealing. It means you don't have to hold standards. You don't have to resist your temptations. You can just indulge and you'll still be forgiven by the keto God at the end of it. But that's not true. It's not reconcilable. It's wrong. It's immoral. And you know it.
I love how the government responds to a petition asking them to remove a section of law that is immoral and in some cases downright criminal to the population, is to not say, oh yes, we're going to remove this law, but instead, oh yes, we see what you're coming from, so we're just going to make it even worse. What? I think it's rather interesting that a point Carl brought up was Germany pointing out that China has concentration camps, and then China just outright saying, yeah, and you should know, in reference to the picture, if that wasn't obvious. Final video. Could someone please tell me how you get those long video questions up? I know it's supposed to only be 30 seconds, but I see some that seem to be very long, and for some reason I'm only limited to the short 30 seconds. So please and thank you would be much appreciated.
I think that's because of the way the website works. They're changing like the file size. So they're probably going to have to start cracking down on this and being like, nah, come on, keep it to 30 seconds. Because there are just too many and it takes up a lot of time. Like, I think today, what have we got, like 20 or something like that?
Oh, God.
Yeah, so more standards, folks.
Yeah, we're going to have to be more disciplined so everyone can get a message.
No diamond. Let's go for the next one.
Part 5. Of the Principle of Mahan. New Blood. A genealogical account is given of Cain's descendants until we get to the man Lamech. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech shall be 70 and 7-fold. For Lamech, having entered into the covenant with Satan, after the manner of Cain, wherein he became Master Mahan, master of that great secret which was administered unto Cain by Satan. And Irad, the son of Enoch, having known their secret, began to reveal it unto the sons of Adam. Wherefore Lamech, being angry, slew him. Not like unto Cain his brother Abel, for the sake of getting gain, but he slew him for the oath's sake.
There we go.
To be honest, I had a hard time following the story.
Okay, let me summarize it. Cain eats bread. He grows wheat. Abel is a good keto boy.
It's funny how every story is the same, Carl.
I'm just saying that's this is literally what happens in the Bible. I'm just saying
it's
that
about bread eating, is it?
Abel presents meat and God's happy with it, and Cain presents bread and God is displeased with it. And out of jealousy, because bread makes you a terrible person and makes you do crazy things, Cain slays Abel and then is cursed, and there we go.
Yeah. I've started buying tiger bread now.
Sinful.
No, because I used to buy like the big loaves for like £1, and then I realized I have a loan. I'm not really eating that much bread, so I'm wasting a lot of bread. So now you will buy the little loaves from like the little bakery section.
So you're eating bread and you're wasting it.
No, I was wasting it. No, I'm not wasting it.
You're just so against the tenets of dadism.
It's my bread, my property.
Well, wait until I've written my 10 Commandments.
Well, okay, let's give the next one.
Hi guys, I'm just here to tell you about this John Lennon album that's getting remastered right next year. Basically, in 1972, John Lennon had an album called Sometime in New York City, which was when he'd just moved out to New York from London. And there's a song on it, and I'm not going to say the actual name of the song because it's just not worth being destroyed because some leftist has found it on your show. But it's Women is the N-word of the world, right? And the point of it was that no matter how low your society is, the women are always below the men. That was the point he was making. And in some places, sure, here, I doubt it. But I don't really agree with the message of the song. But Saudi Arabia? That's the point. And next year, they are remastering Sometime New York City.
I told you John Lennon was the problem, didn't I?
Yeah. I'm happy to disavow John Lennon.
Yep.
Do us a little bit about him.
Right. Is that the last one?
All I know is the goddamn Imagine song, which, yeah, is insufferable.
Yeah, well, communist, feminist, John Lennon, definitely the problem. Peter Nosworthy says, I read today that murders went up 34% from the year before St. George to the year after, around 4,500 more, mostly black. BLM is a horrific lie. Yes, it is.
Are we going to start using like a new system, ADBC?
Maybe,
change it for before George and after George?
But the point is, though, like, the Black Lives Matter movement has unironically got black people murdered by defunding the police and incentivizing black-on-black crime in black areas.
Some of them actively murdering black people, like David Dorn.
But those that aren't, those are just like, you know, defund the police. That's getting black people killed. None of this money is going to these black communities. So to say BLM is a horrific lie is correct. Locust Eater... That's disavow.
Hey, you said you had no problem with it.
In principle. BLM, big loads of money, or BLM, buy loads of mansions. True meanings. Tom Y says, well, a leader of a Marxist organization enjoying luxury paid for by everyone else is actually perfectly in line with Marxist tradition, isn't it? Yeah, what was amazing is Fidel Castro, the champion of social justice, as Jeremy Corbyn called him in 2014, I think it was, when he died, it turned out he had like $900 million worth of assets.
I wonder what percentage of Cuba's wealth
communism.
That is. You know
all
they,
of it?
Well, you know how they say, like, oh, 10 people in America own half the wealth or something? Let's do it for a socialist country.
We should. But, like, I'm sure, like, the average wage in Cuba is something like $30 a month or something like this. Mm. And he's got, like, many mansions and yachts and stuff like this. And I'm like, how could you even call yourself a socialist? I'm on my yacht. I'm the socialist.
The people's yacht.
Yeah, it's the people's yacht, but I'm allowed to use it. Tom Weiss says, James says, in your question about how many black people those companies could hire for the same amount of money they donated to BLM, they get approximately 50,000 black people a salary of 32,000 a year, just above the US average wage. There we go. They don't. BLM founder, of course Black Lives Matter, but some Black Lives Matter more than others. Yes, Patrice Cullens is the Napoleon of the Black Lives Matter movement. Napoleon the Pig. We should do Animal Farm at some point, really.
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
God, I don't know why I'm salty about Orwell. I just can't be bothered.
Why are you salty about Orwell?
It's irrational. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's because you've done it and you're just like,
I know. But, I mean, Animal Farm's only thin anyway, so it'd be easy for us to do. Two Number Nine says... Even if all the money BLM raised went towards helping people, the amount of money it's cost America and the people negatively affected will be a colossal net negative and unfortunately will continue to be. God, I hate leftists. Well, yeah, I mean, no amount of money is going to bring back all the people being shot in black communities because they have no police now.
All the 20 people killed in the riots themselves.
Yeah. Matthew Hammond, dadism, nothing good happens after midnight. Look, that's true, right? So that phrase, I don't know where I first heard it, but it was literally like 20 years ago or something. I heard, you know, before the internet, really. It's like, you know, nothing good happens after midnight. And I don't know where I heard it, but it always stuck with me because it's kind of true. Like, nothing good, it's when the silly mistakes are made. You know, you didn't achieve anything good during the day, just go to bed. Just go to bed. You get nothing done. It's true. It's just a universal truism. Omar says, in honor of excessive degeneracy of pride parades, MSM gaslighting, and ineffectual right-wing politicians, I think we should update War is Peace, Freedom is Slavery, Ignorance is Strength for the modern era. Pride is moral, journalism is truth, Tory is conservative. Oof. Kyle says, since the HMRC haven't included the super straight colours, do I not have to pay my taxes this month? No taxation without representation. Try to time throw some soy milk into the harbour.
That's not a bad argument.
Not a bad argument. Yeah. I feel so included by Lego, the purple stripe, that's a super straight based. The tranny song was to the tune of American Johnny Comes Marching Home to make it even worse. I don't know that song.
Oh, Johnny Comes Marching Home, the like Civil War song.
Really?
Yeah.
They said to it, right, okay.
I don't think it's Confederate one.
Oh, right, okay.
I might be wrong, actually. I'll Google it. Sorry. Can you imagine they're going to do it to I Wish I Was in the Land of Cotton? Like, redo that with fucking pride.
Just swing low, sweet chariot, man.
Wish I Was in the Land of LGBT. But,
God. Sorry,
I assume you've lost your place.
I have, yes, but yes. I'm back to it. It's fine. All right, one of the pride flags in the Blue's Clues thing appears to be a pedo flag.
Yeah, that's something I wasn't 100% about. Like, there's a few, like, what is it called? Like, a spiral thing.
Yeah.
And it's a pedo symbol.
Yeah.
And you can see it on some of the kids' faces and, like, on some of the floats. Yeah. And I'm like, Every time. Every single time.
Yeah. Matthew Wilson says, watching LGBT flags appear on apolitical government institutions is watching the ideological subversion of society to gender and racial communism in real time. Yes, and that's why it's so annoying that the Conservatives are getting involved in it. So is this... Oh my God, is that... Yeah. So I don't
There's
know.
Another one?
So they've got the MAP Pride flag?
Oh God, that's not even subtle then.
No, just flip that upside down and then you do have the exact colours of the float that they're on.
So the artist here is
using dog whistling
MAP Pride symbols.
I mean, if this happened to be like a Nazi symbol, they would definitely call that dog whistling.
Yeah. But there we go. The left of pedos, the left of pedos, the left of pedos. The old adage.
Yes. Land of the White People says, can they actually name one of these positive contributions made to the UK by the LGBT community? Yeah, they can. They'll, who's the Nazi codebreaker?
Alan Turing. Not Alan a Nazi. Turing.
Yeah, no, the codebreaker against the Nazis, yeah, is what I meant. Yeah, Alan Turing. That's the person they go to. So, okay.
But he wouldn't be in favour of all this stuff. Like, if you brought him back
I
now,
doubt it,
he'd be like, oh, you're tolerant of gay people. Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, and also we want you to chop your son's dick. No, I want to do that.
Wear these arseless pants.
Get in that pride parade.
Yeah, oil yourself up and go and be proud.
We need more G's.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I wouldn't be in favour of that.
Yeah. On the changing of government account thumbnails on holidays, don't tempt them with the option of only allowing public holidays. We know that they'll decide to make Pride Month a public holiday. Yeah, exactly.
Forget death work.
Yeah.
I don't get a death work anyway.
Is the Rainbow Conservative flag better or worse than the Black flag of Labour? Worse. Because at least Labour are really living their values with the black flag, whereas the Conservatives are obviously doing it as a kind of cynical ploy, thinking that they're going to somehow get hold of some of Labour's communist constituency. And it's like, why do you want them? Why do you want them? That's less than 10% of the population. Why would you care?
I mean, the reverse would be like Labour. You remember Lisa and Andy saying we need a patriotic Labour Party, mm-hmm, which we're all waving the British flag. Like, that's what you'd be looking for, but yeah, that's never going to happen.
No.
So.
But yeah, no, the Rainbow Conservative flag is worse. They should, the Conservatives should never, ever adopt something from Labour and wave it as their own. It's always subversion. Matthew Hammond said, Sticks made a good point about the lab leak. If this was a nuclear weapon that went off and led to far fewer people dead, then the world would be in an uproar and demand sanctions and possible regime change. And Sticks thinks the Obama administration has their fingerprints on the lab, which is why the Biden response was non-existent. Yeah, I watched Fauci say in, you know, some hearing where they're asking, well, you know, so did US taxpayer money go to the Wuhan lab? And he's like, no. No, he was like, yes, but it didn't go to funding the research that makes it more infectious. And the guy was like, well, how do you know that? It's like, well, they told us. So if they didn't put it on their website, you wouldn't know. He's like,
we
well,
also
no.
told us there's no genocide.
Well, no, that's the thing. And he's just like, well, I can't guarantee. And it's like, yeah, but 5 minutes ago, you literally guaranteed it. He said, I guarantee it hasn't gone there. It's like, well, how do you know? Well, I mean, I can't guarantee it. So you're a grifter. You're a total liar. You're probably being paid by China. I don't trust him at all. Tyler Williamson says, what are the theories is Alex going to be right on? I think Prince Philip being a vampire and living in Transylvania is likely. Well, we're going to do a premium podcast on that, incidentally, because it turns out that Alex Jones has actually been right about a lot of stuff. Not that anyone wants to be able to say that, because it's more fun when Alex Jones is a nut job. Because then it's fun and kooky. Oh, look at this weird stuff. And then Bill Gates is like, yeah. So blotting out the sun then, that's a good idea. And it's like, what? Didn't agree to this.
Yeah, Alex is like, you see?
Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, anyway. That's right, the gain of function research. Alcibiades nuts. No one finds that amusing but me. Maybe Bo, I'll tell him in a minute. Gain-of-function research sounds like something out of a bad sci-fi movie. We're going to dig up some old viruses, make them stronger in a lab, and then see what they do. All the while saying it's a way to stop the pandemic when common sense says it's more likely to cause one without strict safety measures. Yeah, I mean, he literally was like, well, they didn't put it on their website, so I don't think they did it. It's like, there's no chance they're just lying to you. I mean, not that the Chinese Communist Party would ever lie about something. Caffeinated Gnome says, COVID-19 always came from the lab. The origin was never disputed. Pulls out altered news articles. See it dated 3/2/20 and reads, Chinese authorities confirm COVID-19 was escaped from the lab. Yeah, exactly. Ignacio says, I still remember being called a nutjob, paranoid, when I started being concerned about COVID on January 2020. Seeing the videos leaking out of China, hearing about the lab, seeing the numbers rise and rise, politician calling me racist for daring to call for a bit of caution with a then unknown disease. Yes, I very, very fondly remember Nancy Pelosi's go hug a Chinaman policy.
Yeah. I mean, the footage exists. She's literally down in Chinatown saying everyone should come down here and start hugging Chinese people.
Yeah. That disease killed like 150,000 people or something, didn't it, in America? How many? It's been hundreds of thousands, apparently. And then in a matter of days in March, after rejecting to turn foreigners away at the border and airports and calling for people not to use masks, the 180 turn happened, and now this was the Black Plague 2 and the plebs can starve before they open up again. It's a disease that kept looking like it was not an airborne AIDS Ebola, but a rough case of influenza. It's also tiresome. Yeah, and it's never going to change either. None of these people will ever be held to account. And, you know, if you want that you'll be deplatformed. Todd says, Facebook, the lab leak has always been false. Also Facebook, the lab leak has always been true. Big Brother, yes.
Yeah. And they expect people to interact with their policies. I mean, that's the worst part of it, on the end of people who make content. I mean, it happens to everyone as well, like the history channels and all the rest of it, who aren't even political, because they just get hit with political nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, you talked about World War II? You're promoting Nazis.
Yeah, but it's also like, this thing's true, and then you're like, okay, let me understand what I can and can't upload. But also, we're going to change it at random.
Yeah. And we are going to give you strikes.
It's like working with an abusive spouse or something.
Yes, it is. Carbohydrate Crusader. Seems that the government are introducing plans to force healthcare workers to get the vaccine, so I may lose my job over this debacle. Open, unadulterated tyranny. They choose what to do with your body. I'm so unbelievably angry. I've given years to this place, yet they feel they have the ability to control my healthcare. Yeah, it's awful. I really hate them. And the thing is, it's not like... there was a BBC News presenter who died recently after taking the vaccine. Just died. Just, oh well, thank you for your sacrifice. So it seems to be like a mass experiment that's being done, doesn't it? Like we're just going to use you as guinea pigs. FinTuck, you need to make a list of an open list of conspiracy theories that turned out to be true. That would be interesting, actually, yeah. Israel Hayes, this is what happens when you ignore the reality and you hate your opponent purely based on ideological bases. The sheer level of stupid when it comes to Trump is mind-blowingly alarming. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, Trump was just right about... His gut instinct was right about all of these crises. He was just... did the right thing. It really annoys me. Like, he's... like, he's such... I don't want to say a buffoon, because it's not quite the right word, but like that's basically, you know, this kind of well-meaning buffoon, but he was, you know, on the right side of each issue every time. And it's... Student of History says, Fauci is a living, breathing example for why the technocratic leadership of the scientists from Heinlein's nightmare is disastrous. Yes, he is. if you blindly trust the US intel community, I'm not even going to get mad. I'm going to ask a simple singular question. Where's the WMDs in Iraq or their production or storage unit? Yeah, exactly. And the media has the balls to go after Trump on credibility. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? The lab leak cover-up and censorship isn't just plain old Trump derangement syndrome, but it's something more insidious. Yeah, I think so too. Fauci with the Obama admin in the early 2010s were responsible for setting up the biolab in China for gain-of-function research, which enhances viruses to supposedly make better vaccines and totally not make bioweapons, which was legal in the US. Again, kind of weird, isn't it? You know, well, it's not legal in China, so we'll just give them the money. And did they do it? Fauci's like, no, not they didn't tell me. But what are you giving them money for then? Anyway. While I believe it was an accidental release, if in 2020 the media let the theory came from a lab gain credibility, it would have completely ruined Biden's shot and validated everything Trump said about the former admin selling out to the US to its enemies.
That's a great point.
That's a great point.
God, yeah, that's worrying.
But I mean, Trump was right about everything he said. The glorious golden God Emperor. Really wish he'd won. Shame it got fortified. Carl, you must be the only person on earth loathed for your opposition of and failure to rape. Congratulations. Oh, well, it's a hill I'm prepared to die on.
I won't do it.
Kelly says, don't worry, Carl. For every unwashed nut job feminist that hates you, there are 100 of us real women that love you. I won't tell my wife. Right answer.
Yeah, we should probably end because we're going to run out of time. We've got to do more recording afterwards. But if you want more from us, go to lotusseas.com. As I mentioned, the new article there from Hannah Gell, interview with Will Noland, and the updates with him. So go and check that out. Also, if you're a premium member or you want to become a premium member, we have loads of premium content on the site.
It's all really great as well. All of our best stuff where we put in loads and loads of work and get really into the details of things.
Yeah, so go and sign up on there. Most recently, the thing I thought doing was the 1984 book club, just because the comparisons there. Also,
For me, it was the Ship of Theseus, but also the stuff we
Theseus
doing
was good fun. Oh. I saw a bunch of comments underneath the site that were like, yeah, it looks like Cole's getting tortured for eating bread here. I'm like, yeah, that was fun.
But you were. But the history stuff we do with Bo is my favorite, though, by far, because, like, I mean, at the moment, we're just kind of going through the political machinations of the Athenians and the Spartans during the Peloponnesian War. And I know that sounds really niche, but the thing is, we've got such good documentation, and you can feel the passion and the excitement of the thing. And the way me and Bo are going through it, we're able to really bring it out and make it really, like, high political drama. And it's a real shame that, like, Hollywood doesn't make a movie about it or something, because it'd be really, really tense and really dramatic and epic. Yeah. But anyway, we'll be talking about the Sicilian expedition. That'll be out on Sunday, so that'll be good.
Probably upset the CCP, so might do it.
What?
I don't know. They'll find some reason, won't they? It shows the West having in civilization before us or something like that. So.
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe it does. Yeah, yeah.
But then civilization only starts when the CCP gets the power anyway. So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in and goodbye.